Okay.
Yeah, but
everybody stops talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You still carry on doing a bit of banter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just prepping the show.
Yeah.
Have you got, how many presenters have you got, Gerben?
We have 10, but I put Les and myself at the end. So if it gets on too long, I can leave either myself off or Les and myself.
I mean, I suggested that, you know, go them in reverse order. Those that haven't presented for a bit go first, and those who are presented last time go last, you know, to give everybody a chance, basically.
Okay, yeah. I cannot change the order now. That's maybe for next time. What I did to this time is actually I put them in the order that I received the emails from.
Okay.
So
that's fine. Well, that's fine. So we'll just remember this. Well, reasonably remember for next time. And those that didn't get a chance this time, get early chance next time.
That's a good idea. Good idea.
Right.
Also, this tonight we have a surprise visitor. Somebody sent me an email titled blank blank. That was quite funny, and I said, like, who are you?
Must be Terry Wogan, blankety blank.
Blank blank, yeah. But I also didn't recognize the email address, so okay. I still don't know who it is.
It's Norma, isn't it?
Probably. I don't
Norma
know.
Good evening, Roy. Blank.
It's bfitz, ENV@msn.com. I don't know. But anyway, the surprise visitor will either reveal themselves or they get skipped.
Oh, it gets more exciting every week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Got to throw in a curveball, right?
Good evening, Roy. Can you hear us now?
Yes, I just realized I hadn't put my headphones on.
Yes.
All right. Yes, it helps.
They because they're plugged in, they cut out the desktop speaker.
Yes.
But I need them because of the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyhow, it's okay now, yes.
All right.
Roy, just this conversation by email you've had with Peter Strassheim that I've been involved with as well.
Yeah.
He's after the equipment to calibrate his screen, and it's in the, as I said in the email, it's in the metal cabinet.
Yes, you said that to me.
Okay, because I got told off by Kath the other day for trying to get in when it was closed. I got my knuckles wrapped.
Did you actually get through the front door then?
I got through the door, but the hall was locked, so I couldn't get into the hall.
Yeah. It's, anyway. But at one time, the inner front door was locked.
In there. Well, I got in.
Yeah, they must have been in and left that unlocked for some reason.
Yeah, anyway.
You can lock the inner front door, because occasionally, if the whole building's empty and one of the women are just working there, if they leave the inner door, it means anyone who wants to get in has to press the bell, and they know there's someone in the building.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, so if you can help them, great.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah.
I wanted to get the print box anyway to do the little job for lightning.
Right. If you can't get in, Roy, I have a print box you can have.
Don't understand that.
Oh, no, one of those print. Oh, sorry, I thought you meant just a transport box. You don't mean that. I'm with you now. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I've got a lot of them.
You got a lot of them.
No, I'm talking about the club display box.
Yeah, oh, I'm with you now. Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to work on while the closed season was on. Steve.
Evening.
Yeah, I understand now. Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Alan. Good evening, Carol.
Evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
I must apologise, I couldn't get last week, but I really enjoyed seeing the what Gerben sent out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We got black background today then.
Pardon?
You've got you're posing for a portrait, perhaps. You've got a black background.
Oh yeah. if I move my head.
Oh, I see.
not quite all black.
Perhaps you're in a dark room.
Yeah.
No, you've got light
from the window. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to take a picture, perfect.
Right.
Well, don't.
No, obviously not queuing up anyway.
Oh, people are coming in now.
Everybody?
David, good evening. Good evening, Ed.
Good evening.
Ed's quiet.
Perhaps he hasn't drugged his
head. Doreen, good evening.
Hey, Doreen.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
How's everyone?
I'm doing fine. Anyone else?
Hi, Carol. Hi, Alan. Is everyone all right?
Hi.
Yeah,
fine.
9, 2, 5.
You all right, Doreen?
I am. We are all talking about it because it's gone very quiet.
No. All right, Doreen.
Yeah.
Switch off the camera.
David, just to bring you up to date with the gallery.
Oh yes.
Thing next week. I've spoken to John Dilworth this morning, and he's all organised.
Are we looking into them, or how is it going to work?
They're going to control it from their end with their Zoom. So we'll get a link the same as what Gerben sends us.
So when you say we, are they going to send it to every member of our club, or are they going to send it to everybody to forward on?
They'll send it to me to forward on.
Okay.
Start time is 7:30. So suggest we log in about 7:15.
Yeah.
The duration is about 80 minutes, all being well. Because what they've done, they've pre-recorded some of the lectures so they know exactly how long they take.
Right.
They've got 7 speakers. If you want, anybody wants to ask any questions, they can do it on the chat. On Zoom.
Yes. You type it in.
Yeah. And then they'll take live questions at the end.
Right. Okay.
I think that's where it's going to go.
You ask Gerben to unmute me?
Oh. I can hear you, so you're not muted.
You're not muted because we can hear you.
Near you.
Peter, where's the gallery?
What?
Middlesbrough.
Peter, we'll just review all that at the end when everybody gets in, just to remind them all. Yeah. Particularly, it's going to start early.
Yeah.
Can you tell Gerben I'm on silent?
Who's it?
No, you're not.
I can only hear you.
Was that one of my photos just flashed? Sandwood Bay. That one. Sandwood Bay. Yeah.
We can hear you, David.
Yeah, David could hear you, but he can't when he... No, he couldn't hear you.
Oh. All right, that's something else. But we can hear him.
We can hear him.
Yeah, I think he's going to have to come out and go in again.
Yeah, reboot.
Look, good evening, everybody else. Colin, Linda.
Yeah.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Hi, Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let me get Brian in because he was on earlier. I think he wants to join anyway.
Gerben?
Yeah.
I've never had time to sort any images out.
Yes, I've got it.
until about 6:30 tonight. So if we've got time, we can just share my screen.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like we've got plenty, Peter, that you can keep it for another occasion.
Right, okay.
We've seen them all before anyway, so there's no problem.
You haven't? They're all brand new.
I've got a colour monitor as well.
Eh?
I've got a colour monitor tonight.
Evening, everybody.
Evening.
Good evening, David.
Good evening.
Oh, shout. Loud and clear.
I'm finally reaching you over the internet.
You can hear us, can you, Dave?
Hi.
Yeah, I hear you. See, you've got one of my pictures behind your head.
Yes, sound would be.
Yeah.
It's been there for a long time.
Hello, Alan.
What sound would be of the picture?
Both.
Both, actually. Since about 1980. Well, the picture hasn't been there since then, but that's about when we went.
1988, to be exact.
Oh, yes, sorry, nearly 1990. Oh, yes, much more up to date then.
And I've got one of Frank's hanging up here.
Yes, I can. We can only see a corner of that.
Yeah.
So you've got to be pretty well in touch with what he did to guess.
I've got one of Keith Kirkland's trains. And the rest are all... Oh, I've got a lovely monochrome by Jim Lycett.
Have you?
Yes.
Ah.
Good evening, everybody. I'm going to cut the chit-chat to a halt because it's just after 8 o'clock and we'll start if you don't mind. So, it's a members' evening tonight. And Gerben, will you be in charge of who is shown in what order, please? Thank you.
Yeah, I can do. Yeah.
Good evening, Kev.
Hi, David.
Just trying to raise Brian because I didn't know. Oh. Is he on? No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Because he started the meeting at about 10 past 7. And I noticed because I get an email when I haven't started it yet. So, and he thought it was 7 o'clock or something. So, or whatever. But, yeah. There's a
Hi, Rebecca.
Late people coming in.
Good evening.
Yes, we've got a full schedule, so I better
get cracking. We have quite a few members have submitted photographs. So
there's 10 of us. And as I said, if time permitting, I'm on last, and second last is Les, so we'll just see how we get when we are to number 8.
And the other thing I'm suggesting is that those that present tonight will go sort of at the bottom of the queue for the next members' evening. So in other words, people who have not presented tonight get first choice next time, just to mix up who shows.
No, it's a good idea.
Yeah. Okie doke. Right, away we go, Gerben. I don't know who you've got first.
I've got David Stout first. 2 seconds, okay. While I share my screen. And we've got a new user joining in who's new, apparently.
Well, it's all excitement who this is.
Yeah, because Blank Blank is also presenting tonight. So I wonder who that mystery guest is. But right, let me share my screen and we'll get started. There we go.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Gerben. Right, David, over to you.
Okay, then. Good evening, everybody. You're normally used to seeing my images from all over the globe. I'm going to start briefly with a couple I've took while working, and then I'm going to finish off with some I took just 2 days ago, right next to our house, a couple of lockdown pictures. It's the first time I've had my camera in use since the lockdown started, I think. I haven't took a photograph. Anyhow, we'll begin when I was working in Zurich. Some of the fellow workers in the factory told me in this about this time of year where I could find Edelweiss. I was asking everybody, where can I photograph Edelweiss in the wild? And a couple of fell walkers gave me this ridge walk about 10,000 foot up, because Edelweiss only flower in certain pastures above a certain altitude. So here we have on a ridge called Fronalpstock. It was a tram, a train, another tram, a bus, and then about 4,000 feet of ascent to get to this ridge walk. And there's Edelweiss. I was inspired to get this years and yet. Peter Dixon will remember Frank Buick taking pictures of this style because he used to go to Switzerland every year for his holiday.
Stan Buick.
And he took pictures of a similar vein. So I thought, right, I'm going to get up into the hills and I'm going to get an Edelweiss. So the next picture is a close-up. And what everybody thinks of as white petals are in fact leaves. It's just that the very top leaves of the Edelweiss plant develop these white hairs. So there's a bit of natural history, which is not usually my strongest forte. And then you can see the sort of seeds, what have you, in gold in the middle of the flower. So there's Edelweiss, 12,000 feet up in the Swiss Alps. So nobody yodel, for heaven's sake. Right, the next one.
Where's Julie Andrews? One more one.
I know. Just saw a picture of her today. And there's Edelweiss right on the edge of the Fronalpstock Ridge Walk, where there's almost a sheer drop down the mountain. And that blueness just behind the Edelweiss is part of Lake Lucerne. So I've let the sun catch the grasses, but I've got some more Edelweiss. It was quite nice afternoon for a walk, because all you can hear, I can still hear them in my mind's eye, is the sound of cowbells. You can just hear cowbells clunking all the time. So that's how high I am. And there's the massive Lake Lucerne right away down in the distance. So I'm on the edge here, looking at a sheer drop. I think that's the last of the Edelweiss ones. So the next one is a bit closer to home. Proper planted this in the spring, and this is from the back garden. Sunflower, obviously. Bit of splash of colour, which I think is par for the course for me. Vivid colours and a nice diagonal composition. Vivid yellow against the blue sky. So now we're back in Stargate, and the next image is a pink poppy taken a couple of years ago just over the road when we were on a dog walk. And it's like a double-headed, it's a wild, it's living in the wild, it's a wild poppy, but it's got a double head, and it's pink, it's quite unique. So that's still in Stargate where we live, within 50 yards of the house actually. And then I think the next one is much closer to today's date. So if Gerben puts the next one, everybody has been posting pictures of the poppy fields in Stargate over the last 2 weeks. And we've got three fields up here which are absolutely laden with poppies. So I've got a general view, but with that piece of rapeseed left from last year's crop going up in a nice S shape in the middle of my composition. So the massive splash of red, and then I've focused on the yellow rapeseed. And the next one. Got another viewpoint with that same S-shaped rapeseed oil, but this time I've included an extra colour, which is the lavender colour of, I don't know what it is. Somebody might be able to tell us. I just saw the colour. The foreground, these shapes coming out of the bottom of the corner, the bottom left, bottom right corner of the picture. So I've got these lavenders, reds, and yellows. So it's got the shutter getting moving again. So after 4 months
David, I can tell you it's rose bay willow herb.
Oh, thank you. Didn't tell us at the time.
You didn't ask. Didn't ask.
Rose bay willow herb, rapeseed, and poppies all in one picture. And the next one.
Can I interrupt you a second?
Yes, Fred, carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see you all, but can you see me? Because I don't know. Oh,
no.
No, Brian, we can't.
You just have to switch on your video.
Switch on the video, yes.
I did. I made sure I did that because Gerben told me to.
Try again.
I'll go away and come back, right?
Bye-bye, Brian.
Have you got a cover over your camera?
Yes.
Maybe slide it open.
There you go.
Hey, hello, IT guy.
Gerben, you must be a mystic.
I don't know why I did that.
Yeah. You need to check your lens cap next time you go out, I think.
No, I never get out. I can't go anywhere.
Right. Thank you, Brian. Nice to see you. Anyway, over back to David.
So right, here's yeah, a...
Sorry.
Is it all right?
There's rapeseed flowers coming up all over the place, so I managed to get a little bit tighter and get some flow and shapes in my composition, but obviously focused on those two central flowers, the rapeseed and the poppy next to it. So it's just a case of using wide apertures, I think. And the next one is from the same field, obviously. This time I managed to find one by itself, a couple of the pods, and then, of course, those, the classic when you're photographing poppies, getting these fine hairs on the stems, nice and sharp, with the light coming through the poppy leaves. So that's just poppies and poppy heads, again with a wide aperture, which isn't my style usually. I normally shoot at f11 to get everything in focus that I can, but I've gone the opposite way now. I'm changing my style for the conditions. And the next one is, again, my style. I've just found a lone poppy which had a different texture to the rest. But I sort of focused on that one head surrounded by semi-out-of-focus background, but just got this lovely stippled pattern of a poppy. It's funny how I didn't realize there were so many different red poppies, but there's some got black crosses in the middle and everything, but I think that's my last one, but that's the one which suits me because it's got this spot of vivid red in it.
Well, thank you very much, David. That's perfect timing because we are going to try and keep everybody to time so we can get as many people in as possible. So that's wonderful. David, Stoutseed in a new style.
Cheers to that.
Right.
Cheers indeed.
Next.
Carol, thank you.
Right. Hi, everybody. Welcome along to my 10 when it comes on.
Oh, you want your image on?
I would like my image on, please.
Sorry. What am I doing? Hang on. I lost focus. That's the problem.
Oh.
Oh. Technical glitch here.
Oh.
Hang on. Close that. Yeah. There we go.
Ah. In lockdown, I've been going around my garden. We've had a lovely show this year, and this is a little bit of a lupin with its leaf against the tree that grows in our garden. The tree is actually a gum tree, which is a eucalyptus. And after the rain, there's a few spots that I quite liked on the leaf. So I've been taking all sorts of pictures. I could have done a show on this. I've just done loads. So I've just chose 10 tonight. Not all, but most on what I've took in the garden. Next one. By the way, if anybody wants any of those lemon coloured lupins, I've got some loads of seeds. You can have some.
This is a for that.
Okay, because it's unusual for the yellow one. This is a peony, and we've got two types in the garden. One's the bush, like a tree sort of thing, which stays there all year, has its leaves lost and that, like any tree. And the other one is the flower type where it all disappears and then it comes back the next year. So this one, absolutely gorgeous, like double petals around. And I used my feature on the camera, which is I've forgotten the words. The zoom. When you zoom in, what do you call it?
Macro.
Think of the meeting.
Macro. Macro.
That's it. Macro. Thank you.
The bottom of the little flower picture.
Now the next picture is a different image but the same flower, and I took it from a different angle, but when I got into Photoshop I tried saturating it a little bit because the other one looked very false, and it was natural. This one I think looks a bit more calmer and natural, and just try different things. So, but I've still kept detail in the highlights. And just for fun, so the next one is another flower. You might recognize this one as a tulip. Yeah, I've had a lovely display of tulips as well. And again, color, form, shape, lovely lines and patterns, and again gone in for the macro as well. So trying different things, great in your own garden, don't have to travel miles. Next one please. Now this one I call the wet look because it had absolutely poured. And I went out after the rain, taking different pictures, different flowers. And this one just looks so plasticky after it had rained. But when it's dry, it is so dull. But after the rain, it's got this lovely luster. It's also got this lovely catch in the light, as if the sun was shining. And I'm not sure what the plant is called.
Alstroemeria.
That's it. I can never remember that name. Thank you. Yeah, they're beautiful. All different shapes, sizes, and colours, of course. Next, please. This is my last of the flowers. Now, this one against the whitewashed wall is a lily. It's called Turk's Head Lily. Very well named, I think. And each one that I have has three heads like this. And I was spoiled for choice. I had a lot of pictures taken of this one. Colour again, shape, form. And so that's me laughing at the series of flowers tonight. Now I change the subject for the girls. Here, with next one for the girls here. This is our... This is our
Tomo,
our model. Now I looked at the date here and I got a shock. It was 3 years ago we did this in our club rooms. Yeah. Now Rebecca showed some the other week, and I've the next one you'll see I've actually showed the whole of them. No, that's not the next one. There's one missing.
Whatever the order is.
Has it gone the wrong order?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you go to the next one and go back?
Is that the colour one?
Yeah. This is the one I took, like, of the whole of him, because that's what he came for. He took his clothes off. We got his muscles. But he insisted that his body wasn't good. It could have been better, and it has been better. Well, we wouldn't know. We wouldn't have known that. We were happy. But what he also said was the top half of him compared to the bottom half was like lovely tanned at the top and very quite pale at the bottom. He wasn't tanned all over. So that's why I changed to the black and white and or the mono. And if you look at that one, it just looks even now. And I did this one in my Nick filters. I changed it to black and white with those filters. Now, he did say he would come back, so if any of you girls want him back, we can have him back. And he also said, for the men, I've got a woman who does bodybuilding, so he could bring a woman as well.
Well, that was worth turning up tonight for.
I'm pleased you were here tonight.
especially for you.
I really don't know about you, chaps.
Thank you.
Thank you,
thank you, Carol.
I got another one.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I forgot about this last one. I put this in simply because it's cheers to the isolation. And it's two mates having a drink, keeping their distance.
Yes.
In the park. It's not in the garden. It's in the little memorial hall, memorial garden, actually. Down
drinking
the road.
Rum?
Pardon?
Drinking rum, by the looks of it.
That's right. They really know how to cheer, to give you cheers.
Half yeah. past 10 on a Sunday morning.
It's right, thank you very much, Carol.
Thanks, Carol.
Great.
Right, Fred. We got yes, Fred. Yes, there
that's Fred. Here we go.
Right. Well, these are all new pictures. None of you have seen any of these before. The first five are all based on the calla lily, which comes from a pot in our courtyard. So this one I was aiming to get a sort of fine art picture from it. So it was obviously it was taken into Silver Effects, and I think it went through Silver Effects twice using different filters, so that I got the white and the shade on the flower head. Okay, the next one, please. It's another view of probably the same flower head. In fact, it's very good. I cut this particular flower going on for 2 weeks ago, and I still have it. It's lost its color a little bit, but it's still worthwhile taking pictures of it. In this one, I thought I would try it with a texturized background. So this one is in purple prose. Next one, please. And I've got two calla lilies, in fact. One is this deep red color, and the other one is like a pink blush color. So you get the two in here, the two colors together, making nice triplet shot. Next one, please. Now, one of the things I like about the calla lily is at the edge of the petal, where it actually curls over and curls back on itself. And this one I've taken, now this is macro, not very far off. It's probably about 1 to 2, I think, when I showed it. And I've mixed it with a texture because the background is rather dull in comparison. Okay, thank you.
Like that.
And this one, again, coming back to the fine art one, this is one of the pink ones, the deep pink ones. It's gone through, I've obviously sprayed it with water to try and get the droplet on it. And it's also been through at least twice, I think, through Silver Effects Pro. Both of them, using the sort of exposure reduction. So it's twice the thing. And the background on this was originally black velvet, but black velvet still actually reflects some things. So I've had to brush over it with real black. So call that one Dark Tears. Next one, please. Well, this one was taken after Gerber showed us one of his favorite trees, I haven't got a tree close. I live on the bank side up in Shotley Bridge. It was very foggy one morning up here. So I know a location on the other side of the valley where there are two fields, each of them has a lone tree in it. So I went down to take the picture. The difference I found was, of course, I'm halfway up the bank. The fog was thicker where I came from. It wasn't very thick down in the valley. It was misty, but the background was still quite, you could see it quite easily. And when I was processing it, I changed it to black and white. And then I found a marvelous control in RAW, which actually is the dehaze control. Now, when you look at it next time, have a look and see. It starts off at zero, and the idea is to get rid of the haze. You actually drag it off to the right. Well, I thought I would actually drag it off on the left just to see what it did. And lo and behold, it makes it foggy. So it converted quite a mild sort of mist down in the valley into quite a foggy day. So, okay, thank you. And the next one on the same walk, in fact, when I went out, a few years ago, I took a picture of a lock on a gate, a squire lock, which I then called the old squire. Well, the old squire's developed a partner. And this one, I thought, well, it's too much together. You know, we're all supposed to be in lockdown, and here are two locks, and they are actually tied together. You can't get rid of them. So this one is sharing lockdown.
Very good.
Next one. back to the flowers. A visitor actually brought my wife a small bouquet of sweet peas. Not the big blousy ones you get, but this is a perennial sweet pea. So since I had the photo table up, I couldn't resist. I plunked the vase there. I managed to get one flower isolated from the rest, with a black velvet background. And these are smaller flowers than the real blousy sweet peas you get. This is quite small, quite pink, but it makes a lovely black and white study. So sweet pea. Thank you. And this one, it's got two classic elements in. One is butter, and the butter's head is something we obtained when we lived out in Singapore for a while. And the pile of stones, which is, you know, it's very difficult to get these things balanced like this. This is Zen stones. These are just stones I actually picked up from the pebbles in our garden, in fact. And I sprayed them with water. And when you actually spray a dry stone with water, you do actually get the colours coming out. So on this one, it's partially coloured. I've made the Buddha's head and the flowers actually just totally black and white. And I've left the stones here showing the actual colours. So that's, was it? Zen Buddha. Thank you. And the last one, this is what? Isolation. This is the other tree in the field I told you about. I like this shape a bit better than that. Again, I used the dehaze button, but I put negative dehazing on, so it actually increased the amount of haze you got. So this one is, I think it depicted isolation. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you very much, Fred. Thank you. And everybody's keeping to time. Thank you very much.
Oh, I'll be quick. this is a little experiment. I had a day during lockdown when I was really bored. So I had this little jade figure, I bought as a souvenir in Wuhan about 20 years ago. So I thought it also looks nice illuminated from the back, but I thought I'd try a few variations. So this is it, just sat in the house. So it looks reasonable, but not very bright. So the next one. So this is illuminated from the back. Little experimental light, I suppose. Just stood on the windowsill with the sun behind. So it came out canny, but I thought you sort of lose the face a bit. So I thought I'll try something else. So carried on. So next one, please. So this one was sat on a table in the garden with the sun on the front. So the front lit, which comes out, brings out a lot more detail. Quite like it. So next time if I get bored again, which I'll probably not get that bored, hopefully, I might try a combination of two, a bit of back and front lighting to optimise it. That was just a little experiment. Next one, please. This is my second awful attempt at wildlife. You can see why I don't do it very much. But just in our back garden, these three pigeons are having a huge go at each other. And I'll just call this one to please a crowd. It's got a rather pensive look on the third one. Next one. I think, like everybody else, I've been stuck in the house and I've got probably dozens of pictures of flowers, so I'm going to make you suffer a few. Got all sorts of different flowers, so there's just a couple that I picked out. This is just a bluebell in the back garden rather than in the woods. Next one, please. I think it was M for macro on the little camera. You know, it was a little flower symbol. This one I call Flying Acer. So I just turned it around, see which way it looks better. And so I thought it's flying out the picture, looks better that way. It's a nice colour. Use a good shine on it. I think the background was Acer leaves out of focus, but I left them black. Next one, please. This is just a fading tulip, which sort of call it, or think of it as a helicopter. So I added a bit of motion blur in the back, and just nice colour, nice shape. So next one. This one I call spot focus. So you can see in the middle, there's only one spot in focus. I don't know if I get these names from mine, but anyway, so just a little bit different. Next one. Well, this is a double tulip, or tulip with another one behind. So one closed and one obviously open. It's like the two colours together, and that's just as it were in the garden. It's a quick snap. Okay, next one. This one caught my eye. This is another fading tulip. You get all sorts of shapes of fading tulips. So it's just lying against this tree trunk. And I thought that reminds me of a song. Tom Jones, isn't it? Or something like that. Tiny yellow ribbon on the old oak tree.
Dawn.
What was it?
Dawn.
So I thought this looks like a ribbon on a tree. So just had to clean the background up a little bit because there was a post behind it holding the tree up, which didn't look very good. So anyway, it's my ribbon on a tree. So next one, please. This is the last one. I usually like to end these little shows on a bit of a laugh, but this one's a very serious finish. I was thinking about, was been thinking about coronavirus. And this is a picture I took about 20 years ago in Wuhan. This was a hotel I stopped in. Lovely hotel, beautiful old marble and such like. But it's painted red, so I asked them why it was painted red. And they said, usually it's for luck, but in this case, it's to keep the ghosts away. I said, what do you mean, why the ghosts? And the guy had asked, said, oh, there was a lot of people killed here. Well, I asked him why, but he wouldn't go into any detail. But you know, knowing the Chinese have had various bloody conflicts over the years, and as you know, the Chinese governments or leaders are not opposed to killing the odd million people. So I thought, I'll have a look and just look at the statistics for who has died with the coronavirus. And there was 4,500 people in China have died, which is not very many for one of the largest countries in the world, but 45,000 people in this country, and about 145,000 in the USA. Now, the 4,500 in China seems strangely small, but it's actually a coincidence. It's about the same as the number of people that shot in Tiananmen Square about 30 years ago. There were students who were doing a peaceful demonstration for democracy. So they shot 4,500 of them, put an end to democracy, and they don't have any democracy now, and they probably never will. But as I say, they don't mind killing the odd million people to get away. So read what you like out of that. So that's my show. Thanks.
Thank you, Peter.
The first image, Gilbert.
Right.
What I'm showing is really what I've been doing in lockdown. I missed a lot in lockdown, but I haven't been bored. I have plenty to do. But obviously, you've got a bit more time. So I've been having more leisurely lunches and coffee in the garden and things. I don't think in my whole life I've ever photographed a butterfly. I'm not quite sure why. But this one kept hovering around early in the lockdown. In fact, I put it on the chat line we had, and I gathered quite a lot of people were having them at the time. And in the end, I decided to go in and get the camera and come out and have a go with it. And it was still there messing about. So I took it. I tried to think why I've never photographed one. I think it was partly probably because they don't look good in black and white. When I started, you didn't have a choice of colour than black and white. Black and white's what you did. And if you went into a shop with your camera and said, could I have a film, they wouldn't ask if you wanted a colour one. You know, although it's been invented a while, because Shackleton took some to the Antarctic. Even though he had a spot of bother with his boat, he still managed to bring some autochrome back, which was quite good. So that was a start. Sitting in the front of the house, we occasionally get a bird flying to the window. Probably not every 5 years, but we have had a few.
Recognise that?
You do.
I certainly do.
The cleaner comes.
Pardon?
I get it come? Every time the window cleaner comes.
Yes, it's gone now because I don't know what bird it was, because it was on the back of the house, but it was the loudest noise I've ever heard. There was nothing to be seen, so there was no bird walking around with sore head, bent beak, or dead. I meant to put, afterwards, with hindsight, I probably would have put the ruler across the bottom. But it's certainly well over a foot, the wingspan, so it might. We have wood pigeons, but they're not given to moving at speed. It could be a magpie, but they're normally blackbirds, but it's too big for a blackbird.
It's usually a wood pigeon that hits my patio door.
Well, I think the most likely size is a wood pigeon.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always got wood pigeons, as you have nowadays. I mean, you never used to have them. They were in woods. Next, please. Now, I thought I'd do a still life, and they're not new. Pears and poppy seeds have been photographed probably for 50 years, perhaps more. And I've had it at the back of my mind to do both when I found suitable time. early this year in January, I did my poppy heads, seed heads. And I absolutely loved the image. In fact, I sent it to NCPF prints, but of course they then cancelled them, didn't they, for the virus. And I wasn't going to send it as a DPI because it was a small, well-crafted print on a big mount. And you can't produce that by putting it full screen on a big screen. It's a totally different image. But anyhow, these pairs arrived when my daughter did some shopping, and I liked the curve of the left one and the right one. I didn't want them all the same shape. So I got something out, which wasn't very suitable, but was a start. But then I went off the right-hand one and decided I didn't like the right-hand pair. And I wasn't happy with the background, so it hasn't gone ahead to completion, this. And of course, pears, unlike poppy seed heads, if you don't eat them, they go bad. So you can't leave them for a fortnight till you're inspired. So anyhow, next please. So, but I was still in the still life mood. So just a couple of weeks ago, perhaps more, I decided I'd do one of these where you photograph a group of things against the background. And this was what they were before I took my photographs. This is, I trolled the garage, found whatever I thought might go.
Right, I didn't know you were a dentist.
Huh?
I didn't know you were a dentist.
Ah. Yeah, well, you never know, do you? No one knew I was a barber when I joined the ship, and I became the ship's barber quite quickly. And I hadn't cut hair before. Anyhow, this is a piece of old sailcloth. Yeah, I absolutely love this background. It's an old piece of flax sailcloth from a working boat. And last week we were talking about the problem of your favourite image and how it can spoil it. So I try it on this, but I realised quite quickly that in colour I can see them. But this is to be a black and white image. And rust and brown old sailcloth don't have much between them. So I had to get a new background. Next, please. And so perhaps I went a bit extreme, but I put them on black velvet like Fred said. And in fact, black velvet, it has a nap on it. And if you lip from one side, if you put the nap sloping towards the light source, it is as near as you're ever going to get probably to black. I mean, I've tried a piece of black mounting board and that was nothing like as black. It depends. But this sort of unified the things by making them all the same colour. Now, to me, this was a big improvement. This was nearer what I wanted. But I don't think I'm there yet. I think the background is probably doesn't contribute at all. I didn't want it to dominate, but I think it should contribute. And I don't know whether things should be a bit darker or not. I only did this a few days ago, and the jury's still out with what to do with it. But I like the image in principle. Again, it's not new. Occasionally you see these things, but there's no reason why you shouldn't have your own one. And again, you have to think how many things to include. I think there might be rather a lot. I've got far more. You can get tempted. So the jury's out a bit on that still, but it's work in progress. And this is not about a finished exhibition. It's about how I'm feeling locked down. So the next one. Now, I've had a lilac tree. This lilac tree has a very long history. A few people who've seen my website, not website, Facebook, will perhaps know that. And this tree was given to my parents when I was young, about 90 years ago, in the new garden they got in a field. And they loved it, and they moved four times before I got this. And it went with them each time, a cutting or a sucker. So it had already got quite a history when I got it. And I came to Newcastle in 1972 and got my first garden, just a strip of land around the front of the house to separate the building from the street. So it wasn't very wide. But I got myself a cutting. I've moved twice since, and this is the present generation. This is coming up to 30 years old, and this year was a particularly good year. I think because of the wet weather we had early in the year, it's got its roots in good damp soil, and the lovely weather we had to bring out the blooms. So anything deep-rooted, I think it's been a very good year. And I did this initially as part of a handout, an A4 handout showing the history of it to send to friends and relatives. It's just printed on an A4 sheet. This is just was to be the last photograph. But I was chatting with my daughter, and we were looking at it, and I was just telling her what I'd been doing. And I said, I've photographed the whole way on the fact that this is the seventh generation and we've kept it going through seven generations. But I said, if you think about it, we've actually left six gardens with a lilac in which they wouldn't have had. Mm-hmm. Well, next day she came home from work. She works at the Freeman, not 100 miles from where we lived in Newcastle. And next shop. And she came home having done a little diversion, and that's where we lived when we came to Newcastle in 1972. The blooms are just beginning to fade, but that tree now, of course, is coming up to 50 years, isn't it? And it doesn't look as though there's no much pruning either. So no doubt we've got a lot of lilacs to be responsible for. We're next shop. And so I was enjoyed that. So I managed to fit that into the thing I was doing. Now, this wasn't shot at home in lockdown, obviously. But last year, last summer, I decided that I'd do a new short series of nudes in the landscape. And the thing that would distinguish it from earlier work would be that I'd be doing very small figures in quite reasonable sized landscapes. And so took myself off to Belze, which is a favourite haunt of mine, because I thought they had some not natural prints, they're natural stone, but of course that someone's put them there. I had a walk round, snapped a few things that I thought would work. It was already probably in the midsummer, and by the time I'd had a chat with someone who would pose and we'd got round to actually thinking about a date, suddenly the best of the warmth seemed to have gone. So at first I thought, oh, well, there'll be another summer. But I remember Ricky O'Neill has been to our club a number of times from Dundee. And whilst we've gone off his photography a little bit, he's a good guy. And he slept in my dark room like one or two people have when I have a guest bunk. And I took him for a walk around Tamfield. And he loved Tamfield because he does digital stuff all the time, combining stuff. Nothing he ever does is what he does. He's a graphic designer, skilled worker. So when we got around Tamfield, he was saying to me, I can't understand why you take anyone out into the landscape with all the problems of weather and different things, when you can walk around here, get all the sort of background you like, and drop them in. And I've never worked that way. But since I'd lost the summer, I thought, well, what about giving it a try? At least I can get on with it. So I invited someone to pose in the house so we could do some indoor shots. And I've had them in on my computer. But it's only when lockdown came and I suddenly found myself with a bit of extra time the need to do something fresh, next burden, I came back to this. And about 2 weeks ago, I decided to use this particular plinth and put a model on it. And I haven't really done much since. I haven't really looked at where I want to crop it or whether I want to get rid of those stones on the left show, or whether this is even the best. But I put it the other way just because it seemed to suit. I've got the model at a few different angles, and one of them just seemed to be right for the stone. And so, I'm quite pleased with this. But I haven't done anything with it, probably partly because they've closed down every print opportunity that's available this year. So I've got nowhere to send it to at the moment until the virus withdraws a little bit. But anyhow, that's the last of what I'm showing.
Thank you very much, Roy. Thank you indeed.
Yep. Oh.
Who's blank, blank?
Mystery guest. Norma. Is that Norma?
Yeah, Norma, it could be Norma.
Right.
Is Norma there?
Yeah.
Would someone take it if you showed the first image?
I think it's Norma.
I don't think Norma's here.
Norma. Shall we skip ahead then?
Please skip to the next person, please.
In Belgium again, isn't it?
Yes, Gerben, please skip to the next person if they're not here.
There we go.
Colin. Colin's here. We've seen Cole pick.
Good evening. Seeing as I've been around the garden and I've taken all the flowers during lockdown and what have you, still being shielded, I can only go out with my jailer. So I've been delving into the back catalogue. This is the Butler's Pantry in a big country house in Cheshire called Dunham Massey, which is a National Trust property. And I thought I wouldn't mind being a butler, you know, when I look at the right-hand side there. He's got a few bottles to finish off there, and it looks quite cosy. I've had this...
Colin, sorry, I thought it was your new kitchen you were showing.
Just a minute, I shut the door. I don't want to hear that, with a wife to hear that. I've had this print for a few years, but sort of reworked it a little bit and adjusted the light. It was a little bit dark in the original, but I'm quite pleased with that one. Next, please, Durbin. Now, this is in the orangery in Dunham Massey. After enduring the First World War, Dunham Massey was used as a hospital. It was a lady, Stamford, I believe, that opened the house up for the army, for the soldiers returning from the front. And she did quite a lot for them because most of the men that came back there were suffering from what they used to call shell shock then. And instead of army blankets in the wards, she had bed covers made for all of the men. And she also used to have clothes made for them as well. So they weren't in uniform or all in the same dress. She was obviously a very kind and rich lady. I've got some lace top hydrangea in my garden, but unfortunately I don't have the copper birch to set them off.
Oh, beautiful, then.
Yeah. Next one, please, Gerben.
Oh, I didn't do... Oh, this is the Daniel.
Same place. This is another one in the... They had an indoor pond in the orangery in Dunham Massey, and I've just managed to catch one of the water lilies coming out there. If ever you're down in that sort of area, it's in Cheshire, Manchester area, it's well worth a visit. It's a full day. They've got beautiful grounds, and the house is very interesting. Next one, please. Now this is a green woodpecker. I've been a sort of a bird watcher for quite a lot of years. It's not very serious, but I do like birds, like to see what I can catch. And this is a green woodpecker. Now I've only ever seen one green woodpecker all the time on the photograph, and that's it. It's a bit messy, the background, but never mind. I've got my Greenwood back there. Nothing else I can say about that one, really. Next, please, Gervin. Liverpool. Lovely city, lovely buildings, very vibrant. I've been to Liverpool a few times, but that's just a skyline of the main part down by Albert Dock. And it's a very interesting historic city, and that just is a memory of the day. Next Gervin, please. Now this is my nemesis. He's a bird killer, and he does unmentionable things amongst my flower beds. And him and I just do not get on, as you can tell by the stare. He's not my favourite person. That's all I've got to say about him.
Shotgun comes to mind, Colin.
Yeah, I think so. I think that might be my last one, actually.
No.
Oh, right, yes. This is the Keys in Manchester.
Salford.
That's it. Yeah, thank you. Salford Keys. Just crossing over the bridge, and I was just taken by the reflections, the way it's caught the clouds, the bridges, and the buildings on the other side. And that was a day out at Salford Quay.
Two light reflections in the centre area or the greatest stadium in the world, Old Trafford.
Oh, I don't do football, I'm afraid. My dad thinks he got me all wrong because I've never liked football. I think that must be my last one then.
Nope.
I didn't think I'd put so many in. Oh, yep. Right, yes, Anfield, yeah. you know, and we've all had many visits to Anfield, I'm sure. And this one struck me because amongst all the sort of dereliction and rust and havoc that's part of Anfield, there's a foxglove springing up and putting a bit of nice colour in front of the train, the engine that's obviously gently rotting away. And I think I might be one more now that you've said it, Gervin.
It is. Coming. There we are.
Yeah. Again, this is up at Tanfield. I know there's lots of people take props. I know where props are and take oil cans and things and fly them against engines, but this was just lying against a wheel at Tanfield, and I just like the grain of the handle and the oil that's dripped onto the wheel or tar, whatever it is, and the way the wheel is generally just corroding away. And it was really just a quick shot, and I think that's me.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Alan. Linda is here. Good evening, Linda.
Hi. Well, I've been away. I've been down to London this week. I wanted to get down as soon as I could when sort of the main restrictions were lifted and you could travel again and you could find somewhere to stay. And it was just incredible. I'd never ever imagined that I would see London looking like this. And I've really just put a few in. It's not the kind of shots that I would normally take, but really just taking the areas that you would expect to be busy and just were completely devoid of people. It was really quite shocking to see it. I've been into Newcastle a couple of times, and Newcastle was really quite busy, and you sort of got the impression that things were springing back to life in a moderate sort of way. And I expected that in London as well, but really I was completely shocked. Just move through them at a steady pace, Gerben. There's nothing really to say. It was really just out of interest to let you see everywhere. I could have taken this shot 100 times. Everywhere I went, people were sitting on benches like this, in parks like this. I didn't see anywhere really where, apart from there was one Black Lives Matter protest going on in Parliament Square where social distancing wasn't being observed, but everywhere else it was. And
Linda, do you think it's the lack of tourists?
The complete lack of tourists. Yeah. I don't think I heard a foreign voice. I thought places would start to open. I went down on the 4th, which is the day that pubs opened and shops opened and pubs. And there's just nothing. I struggled to get a cup of coffee. I struggled to find somewhere for my lunch. This is Sky Garden. It was one of the few places that was open. And I tried to get a ticket for Sky Garden. The tickets are free, but you have to book online. You always have had to book online. And I've tried for about 3 years every time I've gone down to get a ticket. This time I managed to get a ticket. There was nobody there. Nothing was open. You could. It's usually there's cafes and things up there. Nothing was open, but you could go up and walk around the gardens and see the view. And that was the top of Sky Garden. This is Regent's Park on Sunday last week. And you know, you've seen pictures on television of all the crowds in the parks. Well, there wasn't a crowd in this park, as you can clearly see. And it was just surreal. The whole experience was bizarre. This is the city. That's the Lloyd Building. And I went, I love architecture. So this is one of the places that I did make a beeline for. And I expected to be able to get my lunch. Leadenhall Market is just around the corner and it's full of cafes and stuff. I expected to be able to get my lunch in Leadenhall Market. I couldn't even get a cup of coffee in Leadenhall Market. There was nobody around. This was a weekday. This was, I don't know whether it was Monday or Tuesday. I went on Saturday, came back on Thursday. And this was a weekday in the main business district. This is Leadenhall Market, just around the corner. It's usually full of business people and tourists. This one guy, there's a pub on the left, on the right-hand side behind him, and he was hopefully putting out his boarding thing of what he had to offer in the pub, but there was just nobody there. It was really frightening, actually. Not, you know, I felt very safe because there was nobody around, but it was frightening from the point of view of, you know, we're expecting things to get back to normal and it's going to take a long time. And going down there, I've changed my view on all of this. Some of the ingenious ways that the few places that were open would the measures they were taking to try to get customers and make customers feel safe. And this was a restaurant that was open and they'd put up these little sort of pod units so that families could go into and be safe in an individual pod. There was about a dozen of those in a row and most of them had somebody in. I can't remember what day that was. And there's so much is closed that people were having to do what they usually do in other places. And I saw three or four groups in different places around the city, dancers, performers, using the windows of buildings instead of the mirrors in a workshop environment, in a studio environment, all of which was still closed. So these were just two dancers just practicing a routine using the glass reflection as a mirror. And again, usually there'd be people up there. This is Tower Bridge, is very close to that. Usually there'd be people on the top row. Everywhere, all the shops, everywhere you went, there was messages of support in one form or another, depending what the business was, sort of just giving words of encouragement to everybody. I particularly like that one. And this is just on my way home. I usually book my train just after lunch and go and have some sort of lunch and wait for my train. Paddington Renaissance Hotel is in the lounge there, is lovely. And they do a nice toasted sandwich and chips and that sort of stuff. I went there expecting that to be closed. The whole place was boarded up. Can't get in. This is Paddington Station. If there was a dozen people in Paddington Station, that was it. It was just, I just couldn't get my head around it. But this is my last one, and I've just put it in as sort of a beacon of hope. Fortnum and Masons in Paddington Station. Most of the shops in Paddington Station were open, but they really, there was nobody or very few people around to go in them. And really, people weren't looking to go into shops. It just wasn't encouraging to go into shops. But Fortnum and Mason really had this sort of British stiff upper lip attitude, and this lady in the red coat, the uniform, pacing up and down outside, trying to drag people into the shop as if nothing was going on. And it just sort of lifted my spirits right at the end. That's my lot. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Linda. Paul, welcome.
Hi, thanks very much. When the lockdown happened, our business. I thought, oh, right, I'll have time to get out, take photographs when we weren't allowed to get out. But then I got the COVID-19, so I was ill for about a good 6 weeks and still recovering. But there's two places I always wanted to visit. There's just a couple of odd photographs in here, but two places I wanted to visit was the Northeast Design Centre, which is behind the Sage in Gateshead, and also in the new buildings around St. James's. This one was taken in a night shot when I was out with Ed and Peter. It was in February, I think, before the lockdown. Next one. Yeah, this is the on the Gated side. It's the Northeast Design Center. This is a fabulous building. The design of it is fabulous. These huge apertures, but the building's covered in this wire mesh, and when the sun's on it, it gives this kind of lightning reflection going across the building. Mm-hmm. And I must admit, I was inspired by Peter on his demo a couple of weeks back on using RAW filter in Photoshop, because it's non-destructive and there is a lightroom, and it's easy to straighten out the conversion lines as well, which is really handy to do as well. But next one. And as you can see, these huge windows are just absolutely fabulous. Everything I've converted into black and white, because I think it all kind of worked better in black and white. And as you can see, the wire mesh building with the light reflecting on this wire mesh. And just spend a bit of time. And I must admit, using this, I don't know if anybody's used the RAW filter that Peter demonstrated. Funny enough, Photoshop's actually updated Photoshop in the RAW filter. It actually looks a bit different, so it took me a little while to work my way around it again, because it kind of changed the where things go. But this is a fabulous building. Next one. I was using a wide-angle lens. I bought this Yamsung lens for me, Fuji, to 12mm, because I was really missing a wide-angle lens on this camera. And I love wide-angle lens, and just looking up just gives it.
How did you get the pterodactyl in the sky?
Oh, that's good. You know what it is? When I download this, it's, oh, that was a better look. I didn't see that coming. Because I don't know if Brian's still there, but I don't know if he's actually got the 12mm lens, but it's a cracking little lens. It's not that expensive either. I think it's about 260 quid, I think.
I haven't bought anything yet, Paul, because...
I suppose you're stuck, but I tell you what, Brian, it's a lovely little lens. The only thing is it's a manual focus, but when you're using a 12mm, you just put it slightly off infinity, and it's a cracking little lens.
Okay.
Next one. And this is just at the end of the building. Again, it's just the structure of the building. It's quite a big building.
Same lens, Paul.
Yes, you know what it is? I just went there and I just stuck one lens on. I thought I'm just going to use one lens and see what I could get out of it.
Nice.
And, you know, I'm not bothered with the conversion lens because you can see the lamppost on the left-hand side. It's just about the 4 hour. But I kind of like that quirkiness. I need to work on this a little bit more because I think the sky is just a little bit bright. But I was working on this this afternoon. But these were only taken about, what, three weeks ago when I was just starting to feel a little bit better just to get out. Just itching to get out, but when you're stuck in a house feeling sorry for yourself, thought, right, let's get out. Next one. Oh, this is over over by the university where the students live, just across from St. James's, and the buildings across here are just absolutely fabulous. I need to go. I'm going to go back to this because I like to do some more stuff with this. But I love chrome, and I love when you convert it into black and white. And if you work on this, and again, using the raw filter in Photoshop, the control that you've got in there is absolutely fabulous. Even using the black and white color, because you get all these sliders, the orange, the yellow. There's lots of things in there. You can actually bring out the detail. You can darken parts of it as well, playing around with it. It's absolutely fabulous. Also, what I've done is I actually printed one of these out, and the quality from this file compared to using Lightroom, it's non-destructive. You can actually see the difference. So I think Peter's actually converted Lightroom. Quality just outstanding. Next one. This is just it's the same building. It's just I've just took a different angle. But these diagonal lines on the side of the building are actually gold. And I must admit, it was a shame to convert into black and white. But into black and white. But the colour is actually fabulous as well. But I'm quite drawn to black and white. And again, just using the raw filter and just the control that you've got in there, just to enhance the black and white, is really nice. Next one, Peter Gervin. I think this is one of my favourite ones. This is just one that around the side of one of these buildings, because the honeycomb effect on the top of the building is really nice. Mm-hmm. And I just loved putting that lamppost smack in the middle. the design on the bottom was a little bit of a hazard because that horizontal line was actually going slightly leaning over to the left. But then in raw filter, I was able to straighten out a little bit. But just work on that a bit more. So I think it's one of my favourite images of the day. But I'll have another visit back to this place again. Next one. Yeah, and just, God, these buildings are just amazing. Again, still using the same lens, just looking up. I was amazed how much I could actually get in the viewfinder with this 12 millimeter lens. And just looking up, and I love the two light bits area on either side, the building, the dog bit going right down the middle. I really enjoyed doing that as well. Next one. I think this might be my last one. This is actually a trip to London, maybe two, three year ago. And this is the Lloyd's building, but the reflection in this building is absolutely superb. But when I downloaded the image and had a look at it, the reflection wasn't really there. You could hardly see it, but again, went into a raw filter and worked on this, and you brought out the reflection of this glass. It was just amazing. But it has a lot of control. Really enjoyed that as well. I think that might be me done, I think.
Yep.
Paul, what was the make of that lens you were talking about?
Samyang?
Samyang, yeah. Les, so welcome again.
Yeah. Okay, this was a little bit of an experiment. Using some extension tubes on the camera. One of the problems is when you're using extension tubes or macro, when you're very close up, you'll never get everything in focus. So you go on to the next one, you can see on top the stigma's in focus. The next one, the stamens are in focus, but the stigma's out of focus. If you go on to the next one, Gerben, this one, they're all out of focus, but the petals in the background are starting to come into focus. So one of the things that you can do when you get images like this is, these were all taken on a tripod, so nothing was moving around, is you can use focus stacking software. Now, it used to be a separate bit of software you used to have to buy. But if you take multiple images, focusing on different points, you can use the focus stacking to try and get the whole thing in focus. So if you go to the next one, Gerben, this is Affinity. They don't call it focus stacking in Affinity, they call it focus merge. So what you do, I had seven images, added them all into all different focus and on different points on the tulip, loaded them into the system. And when you've got everything in, when you've added everything in, you press OK. So if you go on the next one, Gerben. So it doesn't look quite right on here, but it's just because I had to do a bit of fiddling to get the picture. You can see nothing's in focus. At the very top, you've now got the focus merged image at the top of the seven images. What you can do, if there's any point that you feel it hasn't done very well, you can actually go in and you can just use the stamp tool and sort of put a sharp bit into the image. This is this isn't in focus. I couldn't get the screen with both things on at the same time, so I had to do a bit of fiddling to get it. So if you go on to the next one, Gerben, and this is the final image, and you can see that it hasn't done too bad a job here. It's got most of it in focus. As I say, this was a bit of an experiment. I didn't spend a lot of time on it. even if you don't get everything aligned, as I say, I had it on a tripod, it will try to align things up for you. The reason I did this, David, you remember your fly on the carpet, yes, where some of it was in focus and some of it wasn't. So yeah, just by manually refocusing, trying to keep the camera steady and manually refocusing, you can actually produce an image.
The problem with mine was I could keep my camera still, I couldn't keep the fly still.
A pin normally works. If you go into the last one, Gerben. So I just cropped it a little bit to try and tidy it up. It's an interesting technique and probably worth repeating. As I say, I think I took these last year just trying to play with what's there. There are plenty of YouTube videos showing you how to do this. You can do it in Photoshop, I gather. As I say, I've done it in Affinity. This is the sort of thing that years ago you probably have to mask off different parts of the image to try and get what you wanted, or buy a specialist focus stacking software. So I just thought I would share that one with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Les. It's interesting.
Have you got time for me?
Yes, Gerben.
Okay.
Those who don't want it can go. Gerben, I'm concentrating on you.
Yeah, but this is probably showing my quirky side. I think I was always looking for patterns, shapes, and structures in concrete and rust and stuff. So these are just a collection of images, all black and white, of like basically I was looking for patterns and shapes. This one is in Berlin. It's like some subway station or metro station. I like the way the light shine through, and obviously there's three of them, so even better. This is an experiment. I think I like the color better, to be honest, but hey ho, I had them all in black and white. This could be used for like a backdrop if you want to merge some images, have some structure in the background, so at least it's your own, right? This next one is just some like a pebble on a rock face at some beach. It hasn't showed yet on my iPad. There you are. I got a few of those. I think Les Hill did some a while ago in some competition, I mean. So, yeah, inspirational. This is a statue in a park in London, but obviously it's just a small part of it. Again, you can probably see the guy who made this statue sort of like scratched away at the surface kind of thing. It's sort of marble. But again, maybe the color one is better on this one. But that is, I think it's near one of the museums. It's like an artwork. So it's almost like a regular pattern, but it's not quite there yet. So obviously deliberate, but I quite liked it. This next one is sort of also an art installation in near IJmuiden, sort of had some spare time coming off the ferry. It is an art installation. It's made of steel, and it's kind of like a stair to nowhere kind of thing. I thought I'd just take this detail against the clouds. That one's on the ferry itself, really stairs, blue stairs with yellow lines, so you see where the stair sort of ends. That is, if it shows up, yep. That is a in this library in Dublin, in the in one of the museums.
Trinity College, I think.
Yeah, it is actually.
The alphabet's backwards.
Yeah. And this might be my last one. I'm not sure.
That's interesting.
That one always sort of reminds me of like one of the Pixar shorts with all the birds sitting on a line. I really should have probably cropped out that little bird on the bottom left, but I kind of like that quirkiness of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like it.
Stuffed it in. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, there's a few more. Like ropes in a port is always a good one for. I mean, none of these are like your award winning images, right? It's just a collection of where I'd like toy with shapes and structures and images that I might be able to use later on. And just for the fun of it, I actually converted the whole collection to black and white in one go in Lightroom. So. That was also on the ferry that was just trying to patch up like the rust coming through the floor there on the area where they work, so they just paint bits of it instead of the whole lot. And this one is the stair near the music venue just over the Red U Bridge.
Arena.
Yeah. So it's that stair again. And that is that. Nice and short.
Good. Thank you. There. Well, thank you all very much. That's a fascinating variety of photographs tonight. Indeed.
Yeah.
So, thank you. Anybody got anything they wish to add? Silence. Okay.
Excellent. Very good.
Silence.
Very good. Very good.
Next week, just so everybody needs to know, it starts, we're having our meeting, Peter will say a little bit more about it in a second, meeting with our gallery colleagues, and it starts at 7:30, so the Zoom meeting will start at 7:15. Peter, do you want to say a little bit more for everybody next week?
Yeah, that's the most important thing, of course, is the 7:30 start. It'll probably last about 80 minutes. There's 7 speakers. And if you want to ask questions, you can do it on the chat rather than out loud. But we'll take questions right at the end. So I suggest you log in about 7:15. That's all, David.
Okay. So we'll look forward to this. This is the sort of return visit to gallery, isn't it? That we went to gallery earlier in the year in person, whereas this is a Zoom return, shall we say. Okay. The week after that is we're trying this image improvement with where we hope that one or two people will send some raw images, and we have some expert people who will fiddle with them and come up with hopefully improved pictures. Anyway, the idea is that we learn from this. So we would like some photographs. And Les, I think you're receiving them, I think. Is that right?
Yeah, I've only had 2 people send photographs.
Okay, so if you would like to send a few, not a huge number, to Les, and then we will prioritise them just sort of one per person if we get hundreds of people, but more per person if we get less. Yes, Rebecca.
I've got a problem with my Fuji where it occasionally switches off the RAW, and I don't notice till I come to download it. And I realised I've lost my RAW image. It hasn't, you know, it switched from the JPEG and RAW to just JPEG, which is annoying. And I wanted to put a couple in to say, how can I improve them when I haven't got the RAW? But you said RAW, so I backed off.
I would say just send them, Rebecca. Just, I mean, you can solve a bit more with RAW, but I mean, if we're just looking at a few images, it might be worth sending them.
Yeah, please do. Okay, so we're after a few images from a few different people for next week. Great. And then I'll continue till the end of July. The week after that, so next week's gallery, the 17th. The week after that, the image improvement, 24th. Then the 31st, we're going to have a guest speaker again, my old colleague Niels Powell, the one who did the judging for our first lockdown competition, is going to give a talk on his Antarctic expedition. And he's quite a good wildlife photographer on his Antarctic trip. So that's the 31st of July. So that takes us to the end of July. Okay. And those of you who are... Alan, yes?
Back to tonight. Very enjoyable. Thank you very much, everyone. If, as normal, I can ask for your favourite two images, all the speakers who spoke, your favourite two images, and I'll put them into next bits and pieces. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And those of you who are on the committee, I hope you've seen the emails. We'll hope to have a meeting on Thursday via Zoom, if that's okay. Alan has sent round a circular, and Gerben has sent round an invitation for the committee meeting on Thursday. So you can have it in the pub if you wish, but it's always via Zoom. All right. Anybody else got anything to say? Because I've enjoyed tonight. I was good. We haven't had a members meeting for a little while, and that worked well, I think.
Yeah.
David?
Yes.
Can you square those pictures up behind you?
I'll try my best for next week, all right? Okay. I'll get my spirit level out.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
I'll use a 12mm lens and it'll just put them all off the pot.
You need Photoshop to smear them out.
Right then, thank you very much. Has anybody got anything else to say? If not, we'll say good night and have a good week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you all next week.
Bye.
Yeah. Nice to see you, Brian.
Bye.
Yeah, I'll be here next week. See you then.
Good.
Yeah.
Gonna polish your head, Gerben?
No, I need a haircut.
No, you need a polish.
Get one day, mate.
Get your money's worth, Keith.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, Gerben, are you happy with the committee meeting and sending it out to everybody's
fine? Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Good.
I'll probably send it out again just before. So,
yeah.
So reminder.
8 o'clock starts, so we'll start 7:45 bid chat.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.
Hey, good night. See you.
I'll be in touch what we spoke about.
All right. Good stuff.
Good night.
See you later. Ta-da. Bye. Bye-bye.